Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast, Governing Compliance and Open Source for Effective DevOps. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speakers, Rupert Richardson at Black Duck and Richard Field at IBM. Today's schedule consists of about 45 minutes of presentation, leaving about 15 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate in today's event. You simply type your question in the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the presentations. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material in question and the question is fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A, and if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you can submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the eCast. Richard Field is one of our speakers today. He is IBM Rational Worldwide Financial Services Accelerator Lead. He's responsible for specifying, developing, promoting, and enabling new rational solutions and accelerators to fast-track deployment to meet business and IT needs through effective DevOps practices. Richard has been closely involved with initiatives to provide specific support for financial institutions and their ongoing efforts to comply with constantly changing and growing sets of financial regulations. Richard has an MA honors degree in economics from Cambridge University and retains a keen interest in relating economic trends to the financial services and IT industries. Rupert Richardson is a senior director of global technical account management at Black Duck. Rupert has nearly 20 years of experience in source code management, bug tracking, and source code complexity. He leads the technical global account management team, providing seasoned insight into global customers and prospects and how they should strategically govern, manage, and ensure compliance of open source software and third-party components within their organizations. During his 8-year tenure at Black Duck, he has been responsible for both pre- and post-sales technical oversight for all customers and prospects, including deployments with industry leaders like SAP, Intel, RIM, and Dell. Richard will be starting the presentation. Richard, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you very much, Kurt. So moving to the next slide, this is the sort of standard slide we have to show, acknowledgement disclaimers covering IBM, IBM Rational and Black Duck. I'm not going to go through that today. What we'll do is to move on to the agenda, and this is what we're going to talk about today, to show you how you can gain control of your IT development in terms of governance, meeting compliance, and the open source environment, ensuring compliance that your developers are using the correct set of licenses, etc. So we can look at some of the challenges that customers like yourselves are facing, how those challenges can be addressed with an effective DevOps strategy and implementation, some elements of how to meet software development compliance and how sort of Rational can support some of those initiatives. And we're also going to look at a solution that IBM Rational and Black Duck have developed to help with open source compliance. Without further ado, I'm going to actually hand over to Rupert to give you some more information about the Black Duck organization and their cooperation with Rational. So over to you then, Rupert.
Thank you very much, Richard. I'd firstly like to introduce Black Duck. Black Duck has been in business for just over 10 years and has really designed our products and services to help organizations and developers build better software faster by harnessing the power of open source technologies and methods. We certainly have understood for a long time that open source is a key differentiator for many customers and allows them to develop faster, faster and better software. And so Black Duck really allows people to use technologies and methods to do that. I think everybody understands the benefits of using open source. As Gartner referenced in 2011, the challenge for most companies, however, is actually putting policies and process and management around that open source. So everybody understands the benefits of open source. It's the management and policies around that typically that is the challenge for many people, and making sure that those policies and processes are integrated well with existing processes that you have. Black Duck has built technologies that integrate directly into existing application lifecycle management tools. So with the next slide, what we're explaining here is that application development life cycles have a typical path of planning and coding and building, testing and releasing. And that typical path has an open source governance life cycle that maps very nicely to it. Those steps are typically how do you find pieces of code? So what's the acquisition process for anybody to find a piece of code? What's the approval step? So how do you get something approved associated with that? Then how do you catalog that? So how do you keep track of what's used and where it's used? So which applications, which applications are using what pieces of open source and where are they being used? And then there's typically an audit function to validate or verify that the code that was approved is actually the code that got put into production. And so the audit function is typically key in here. The next step in that process is typically monitoring. So after applications have been built and deployed, the monitoring of that open source for many different things, such as security vulnerabilities, such as its maturity, sort of continue to exist as the applications are running out in customers' environments. And to do that and to support all of these different processes, Black Duck uses its knowledge base, and its knowledge base is a huge database of open source that we have, with almost a million open source packages, and many, many versions, obviously, of each of those packages, and then all the metadata associated with those. So everything from its versions and descriptions right through to the security vulnerabilities associated with those pieces of open source, right through to the encryption and cryptography contained in those, and then standard things like its licenses. And we've even added recently things like its maturity. So what's the maturity state? What's the community around these pieces of open source? So that you can make decisions on those pieces of open source based upon things such as its community and how active the community around it that is, and not just on the standard things such as licenses and vulnerabilities and encryption. So Black Duck and Rational have had a long relationship. We've been partners for about 6 years now, and built many different integrations that we've had ready for Rational certified. So we have integrations with things like BuildForge, with ClearCase, and the one we're going to be talking about today is obviously with RTC, with Rational Team Concert. And what we're doing is helping people extend the compliance here that comes with Rational to include open source governance and management, so that we're able now to extend this beyond just beyond what has traditionally been offered. Open source actually typically allows you to actually accomplish three different things all at once. And Jeff Hammond from Forrester put it quite nicely, that open source is the silver bullet that allows simultaneous improvements along three different dimensions. Typically, you can only get improvements either on two of these. So if you want to increase costs, then typically you can increase the schedule and add features. But it's very difficult to get all three of those. But open source actually gives you the ability to do things faster, better, and cheaper all at the same time. The cost associated with that, however, is typically the understanding of what you've got and where it's come from. And so there's an important piece here that while it gives you the ability to meet these three dimensions all at the same time, it is important to understand what you've got and therefore make sure that you're in compliance associated with that. And with that overview, I'd like to hand it back to Richard to discuss further.
Okay, thanks very much for that overview of what Black Duck and its solutions. I want to talk brief moments about some of the challenges that organisations such as yourself are facing with around governance and compliance. Now, I know that the slide here is focused on banks. It applies across all industries. Perhaps we could say we've all discovered that banks were under-regulated. That isn't the case anymore. And we've seen in the United States alone 70 new studies by 11 different regulators, as well as 240 new rulemaking processes. And these are affecting, different applications, the same applications in different places. And it is in the past, I think, people perhaps been reactive. They were using, spreadsheets and Word documents to manage their compliance process. And it's been shown up time and time again that senior executives do not have control of their organization. They don't know what's happening. And we've seen enormous fines being levied on some of the banks and insurance, particularly the banks, because of this fact. And they're now realizing that they have to be more proactive. They have to look and plan and look at sort of enterprise risk management. So the old ways of working don't work anymore because there's so much change, there's so many new regulations, modifications to existing regulations, many sets of clauses and subclauses. A new approach is required, as we shall see. And one of the areas, and one of the ways we're going to focus on, people often think about industry-specific regulations, but today we're looking at more around IT compliance. And we think of sort of compliance with Sarbanes-Oxley, for example, or with meeting standards like COBIT and ITIL. And also, if you haven't got compliance on your IT side, there's a good chance you're going to fail compliance elsewhere in the business. And I think it's about deciding what you need to do. So sort of saying what you're going to do. This is how we're going to meet compliance in IT. Secondly, you have to implement those. You have to make that work in your organization. And the third thing is when the external auditors come along, you've got to be able to prove it. So you've got to have documentary evidence that you followed the processes that you laid down in your compliance strategy and tactics. And we're seeing today's reality, the cost of compliance is going up enormously. So one compliance failure on average generates $81 million in extra costs for firms earning larger than $1 billion in revenues. And that's quite a lot of organizations. Let's say you've got to prove your products and services, are audit ready. You've got to be able to prove. So how do you improve your ability to demonstrate compliance? How do you prove your software development process is compliant to meet Sarbanes-Oxley? And something we see, I'm sure you're finding this, is that, again, generally application development, innovation, business operations is fractured across an organization, leading to uncoordinated buying patterns and high-risk operations that can lead to compliance failures. And we're seeing one area where we're seeing this in a sort of general is around the traditional area of innovation, new applications to deliver innovation. And it's becoming more critical. With the advent of mobile solutions, customers are demanding things much more quickly. And we're going to see success from those organizations that are able to deliver more quickly, reduce time to market. And we can see the figures here, and these are typical of what happens today. The links between, you know, customers and the business owners, between the business owners, users, and development, the IT development department, gaps between development and operations. So we've seen major delays that most business owners experience deployment, production. We're seeing that gap between development and operations, that agile methods are being deployed, you know, sprints are leading to a new release every 2 weeks, but then it takes 4 to 6 weeks to deliver the code changes. So we need to look at how can we improve this, and that will help organizations be able to meet those, you know, those compliance initiatives, those changing regulations that they need to. So the reason for this is the organizations don't have, there's a lack of continuous delivery. And we'll look now at what that means. So how do we, you know, address some of these challenges? And a way that we're seeing lots of organizations adopt is, we call it DevOps. It's that integration across the development lifecycle and then into operations with a feedback loop to deliver that continuous delivery. So time to market can be reduced. You're getting feedback back from the, you know, monitoring and the operation side to feedback new changes required. And this works, it's an enterprise capability. So it enables the clients of the IT department to seize market opportunities. So continuous information, feedback and improvements. And this is what required: accelerated software delivery, reduce time to obtain and respond to customer feedback, achieving improved governance across the lifecycle to meet compliance needs, and balancing those three key areas: quality, cost and speed. IBM have developed an approach which takes advantage of a series of solutions throughout, not just Rational, but we'll see other solutions as well, to integrate across the life cycle. And we've broken the life cycle into four big areas. First of all, planning and measuring the continuous business planning of those innovations you need to make. Then develop and test, all part of the same area. And then that's sometimes called transition, taking what you've built and moving it into production, release and deploy. And then underpinning that, once the system's in production, you need to monitor, produce feedback and optimize. And within IBM, we've based that on the Open Lifecycle Services Management Integration Platform, OFLC and JAS, to enable integration between different solutions within IBM. And we're seeing particularly great improvements being made in the on the release and test and release and deployment sides. So let's look at some of the key, when looking at, and what we're focusing on today is develop and test. And one of the key areas where Rational can provide support, which is great to improve performance and become more agile, is around collaborative development, enabling enterprise agility across platforms. And we've seen, so the idea that you have a platform and it's integrated, you know, within Rational to enable scrums and across the enterprise in different geos, working with sets of developers, using agile teams, but also integrating with other tool sets that you may have, you know, with HP and CA, et cetera, that you can see listed on the slide. And I think this is because most organizations have diverse development environments, and they're getting, you know, whereas traditionally they had mainframe, they then had mainframe client server, you know, traditional, but now they've moved into mobile, so they've got different environments for Android and iOS. Cloud has now come along. So it's collaborating, managing, and creating consistency, consistent story across the life cycle, across all these sources. And we're seeing that, we mentioned rational team concept is a great solution to help you to achieve that collaborative development. And we'll see how that can work, A, to provide compliance, but also to help working with open source compliance, as Rupert will talk about with Black Duck in a few minutes. Another area that we're seeing great stride, and you know, if you're trying to meet compliance, one of the key areas for you is got to be tested. And you need to do it more quickly and to achieve automation. So test management and automation. And again, we're not talking about one channel anymore. We're talking about multi-channels. And in fact, now, on the banking side, they're talking about omni-channel, that the customer doesn't, you know, it's seamless, the different channels. In order to do that, you've got to have, you know, you need quality management tools for test planning, configuration testing, test execution. As you can see, across different client tier services, the mobile tier service, back-end data services, to ensure integration. So that we're seeing the enterprise mobile application where, you know, what you see on your mobile phone is connected to the back-end data, again, in a seamless transaction. A big area that we've seen helping with compliance is in the area of service or test virtualization. The ability to provide what are called test stubs to sort of simulate mid-tier or back-end systems. Could be a regulatory system, could be a payment standard, such as SWIFT, for example. And by that way, you can test much earlier in the life cycle. You can test automation on devices and, you know, irrespective of the device, to enable that multi-channel testing. And what we're seeing, and this is a strong, by adopting a sort of new approach, adopting automation, we mentioned that service virtualization, the standard approach is that you have a series of phases, you know, requirements management, unit testing, system testing, then integration testing, and it's a long way down the, if you like, the life cycle of the project when you hit the really serious errors around integration testing. And do you know what also happens? It never gets tested properly. You're up against the deadlines, and so code goes into production that's not been properly tested. And then, you know, you're going to fail the compliance regulation. So the rational approach is to test, is to have these stubs, the service virtualization, so that you can carry out your integration testing early, as you can see in the life cycle. That reduces the total testing time, you know, the elapsed time for the testing. It also ensures much greater quality of the end solution that's going into production. And that's really going to help you with your compliance initiatives. Also, an area as well, so we've got our solution tested. We now need to move it into release. We need to, you know, automate the release and deployment of this. In the past, again, it's been lots and lots of spreadsheets and lots of things have gone wrong. We saw quite recently in the UK, a UK bank, an upgrade went wrong and it took 3 weeks before people could access accounts and it cost $100 million to fix the issue. And in, you know, the new world of mobile and cloud and big data, that isn't really adequate. And that's done, that particular organization hasn't done any good at all. So you've got to have, you know, you've got to be able to move applications much more quickly into production with a higher quality, or you're going to lose your customers. You need to drive down costs, reduce time to market, and reduce risks. So again, you need to automate as many of the functions in this space as well. And this is all part of IBM DevOps solution. And the example of this is Fidelity. by adopting automated solutions from IBM Rational, the UDeploy, it's been able to assure regulatory compliance, and at the same time, it's been saving $2.3 million a year from deployment, at release and deployment. So the release process used to take 2 to 3 days a time. It now takes 1 to 2 hours. So phenomenal investment savings, you can see from that example. I'd now like to talk a few moments about some specific initiatives and solutions that Rational has around supporting software development compliance to support, you know, Sarbanes-Oxley or COBIT or ITIL. And something that we have developed are specific solutions around, for example, the first area is planning. Mentioned, you know, this is something that you have mandates and standards and new ones coming in every day. You're trying to innovate your business at the same time. How are you able to do that and meet all these new standards? So you need to plan out what are the standards, what's the impact, what projects are you going to need to do, what are your priorities? You then need to develop and deliver the software. You've got to create projects, develop and deliver compliance software. And with particularly with software development compliance, there are certain you need to govern as part of this the work authorization, who's allowed to do what, segregation of duties, we'll see what that means, you know, the authority people have, following the process, making sure people are following the process, reporting, the ability to show you that capturing automatically what work has been done by whom so that you can report it for audit. And also part of this, and we will see that later, open source governance, you know, with Black Duck Solution, working with Rational's RTC, Rational Team Concert. So here's an example to talk about using the solution. So, for example, Section 3-8 of the USA Patriot Act requires banks to have a customer identification program. And other, we say banks, but insurance companies and, you know, retail organizations as well. They have to be able to recognize, know your customer. So, for example, we're talking about JKA banking. Yeah, it analyzes, you know, what, there's a new rule has come in, around this act. So procedures need to be issued for screening anyone applying for an account, including checking the applicant against a federal terrorist watch list. And people have defaulted on loans. So this is not a trivial piece of work to do. And the bank needs to understand which applications are impacted and what else is happening as well. So it doesn't want to do the same work twice. So using Rational's Compliance Accelerator for planning determines there are three systems with online loan application capabilities that are affected. So it needs to have, it sets up two projects to which will be, you know, amend these applications to meet this new mandate. And along the way, the vendor management team will want to do an audit on the software development process to ensure enforcement of the internal controls. So the two projects are completed using collaborative lifecycle management with complete tracking from the business need to project plans, detailed requirements, test cases and designs. So it's a full audit trail of the work that's been undertaken. And proper work authorization and segregation of duties are used as well to meet, the example for, you know, Sarbanes-Oxley, for example. So this is how our solutions can be used. We have here one example of Chubb Insurance Company. They're using our compliance solution to meet for their risk management. So before they used a spreadsheet, they're now using Rational Focal Point solution, and they document all their risks in there, the controls, the priorities, what they need to do to mitigate that risk, and they set up projects and run those projects all from within the one solution. And if you download the slide, well, you can see that there is a YouTube video where their Chief Risk Officer, talks about the work that they've done. We mentioned earlier, when it comes to software development, it's a fact that it's becoming more regulated, specifically in certain industries, where IT underpins most of what happens in the organization. Mention these three things earlier. Say what you do. So you've got to document evidence of your development process. You've got to communicate it to people and show you've communicated it. You then got to do what you say. Follow the process. You need, for example, requirements integrity. You've got to make sure that no one could have changed requirements. That's very key. I worked in the pharmaceuticals industry for a while, and that is key. That is critical. No one can change requirements without the proper authority. And then finally, you have to be, when the audit people come round, you've got to be able to prove it. You need those records. So we'll see how IBM Rational can help you with this. So regulated software development compliance requires these key things: work authorization and requirements integrity. So somebody has to enable someone to carry out the work. Segregation of duties. So protect the system from unintended or unauthorized changes. So for example, someone in operations can't change a requirement. It needs to be a business person. Process change control. Having internal controls in place so that governance is enforced. Development, production of automatic generation of audit reports to show how you've implemented the controls. And we've also mentioned about open source governance. And these capabilities are provided within the Rational Team Concept tool, and we know that Black Duck has taken that and developed the open source governance on top of that. And just to mention, I'll move on quickly, segregation of duties. You can see examples of how you can use RTC to enable roles and permissions, etc. I'm conscious of time. One of the advantages of Rational Team Concept and our collaborative lifecycle management solution is it integrates with other solutions that you really need to have an automated, integrated process for requirements management, including regulations and standards, and also for quality management, centralized test management. So you can have the test cases, to meet the requirements, and the integration to improve productivity, reduce risk, and improve efficiency. At this stage, I'd like to hand you back to Rupert, and he will talk you through the solution that Black Duck have developed for integrated open source compliance. So over to you, Rupert. I'll just move on to the next slide.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Yep, thank you. So what I wanted to do first is sort of explain the challenge of open source compliance. The challenge for most organizations that we encounter are that the developers want to do their job faster. They want to do it better, and to do that, they typically use open source to do that. Open source is so freely available. It's easy to download it. It's easy to find it. It's easy to incorporate it into your code. But the issues that come along with that are that they may not be understanding and evaluating that code properly within the constructs of the policy and processes that are put in place by organizations. So the challenge really is to allow developers to use as much open source as possible while staying within the parameters of your open source policy. So development organizations obviously need to understand where open source is used They want to know what's used, where it's used, and making sure that there are no security issues being inherited, no legal issues being inherited, and also try and enforce some kind of standards associated with this. It's not uncommon for Black Duck to review environments of our customers and environments of our prospects and to find a huge amount of proliferation of open source. This can be lots of different types of open source doing the same thing, or it could be many, many different versions of the same pieces of open source. So many different web servers of Tomcat, for example. It could be multiple versions of the same thing. And obviously that leads to many challenges for people from a support perspective, from a legal perspective, from a security perspective. Obviously lots of different challenges that leads. So having an inventory of the open source that used, where it's used, how it's used is really critical. So from a best practices perspective, Black Duck recommends that companies first create a policy and a strategy that open source is going to be used within. So how does a developer find it? How do they grab it? Where do they grab it from? What are the approval processes associated with it? And once you've got that, then you can implement those policies and processes using Black Duck and Rational, and then you can automate those processes so that you can leverage open source as much as possible and not put too heavy a weight overhead associated with that. So with the integration between IBM, Rational, and Black Duck, it allows us actually to do an automated and integrated processes. It actually allows us to integrate directly with the build processes. So the build processes that are being run within RTC, we can actually integrate directly into there, and allows us to automatically identify open source content. So the open source that's being introduced as part of a build process will automatically be detected. And we do that by using our database or knowledge base that, as I mentioned before, has almost a million unique open source packages in it. Obviously, many different versions of those different open source components, but there are almost a million open source packages there. Along with that come all of the licenses. And once we understand the licenses and what's used, we're able to compare them against company policies to say which pieces are allowed, which pieces are not allowed, how they're used, and how, if there are issues, how there could be remediation to fix any potential license conflicts or security issues. Once the discovery has happened, Black Duck is able to then automatically create work items within RTC. So assuming that something needs to be done to do remediation associated with the piece of open source, Black Duck can automatically create this work item within RTC and automatically assign it to users. And ultimately, what our prospects and customers are looking for is a bill of materials. It's what is in this application, what was discovered in this application, what's the name of the open source package, what's its version, what's its license, what are the security vulnerabilities associated with it. That's the typical output that's looked for. So the benefits that our customers get are you're now able to make sure that policies are being enforced, and you're able to do that in an automated way. You're able to have visibility into all the open source software that's used. So which open source software components are used across your organization, where are they used, how are they used, who's using them, and minimize the burden to developers. Using open source is obviously a key strategic advantage for many of our customers, and we don't want to slow that down, but there does need to be some level of compliance introduced here, and this allows us to do this with absolutely minimal burden to developers to allow them to do that. So the integration with Black Duck, as I mentioned, allows us to really understand exactly what's used and where. I'm going to walk through that in just a second. But the analysis allows us to plug directly into RTC and actually populate right out to within RTC the results of the scans. So as a developer edits the code and introduces the code within RTC, that developer will then check that code in within RTC, and at the point where that that code is checked into the team stream, a build is actually triggered, and that build is what Black Duck is being attached to. So the Black Duck integration at this point is now attached to that build, and it will automatically take the code that's being built, and it will scan that code to look for open source software. Based upon what it finds, it will then compare that against the approved list and compare it against the policies associated with the company. And if they're found to, if there are pieces of open source that are discovered that are not in compliance, then you'll notice that what we'll actually do is we'll then populate the build trend with the appropriate color associated with it to say whether that build has failed or whether it's passed based upon the discoveries associated with that. So Black Duck is then able to populate that information directly back to RTC to be reflected there. So you're able to see for any build exactly what happened with that build and whether it passed or failed from an open source compliance perspective. And then as we mentioned, we're able at that point to then create a work item directly within RTC. So assuming that something was out of compliance, something was that was detected was not on the approved list or had security vulnerabilities, for example, then that could create a work item within RTC automatically for us. If the user wants to, they can also take it a step further and they can jump out to Black Duck. And at this stage, they could actually look at the open source and understand exactly what was introduced. So they're always able to go back to Black Duck and say, within this build, this is the code that was identified, which open source component did it come from? And in this case, we're actually seeing two windows in the yellows here. The window on the left would be your code, would be the customer's code, and the window on the right would be the open source code that's matching. So you're always able to see where the code matched and understand which pieces of open source were introduced. So there's complete visibility into what Black Duck has found, where it's found, and exactly what lines of code within there even Black Duck is finding matches to. And with that, I'd like to pass it back to Richard for a summary.
Okay, thank you very much, Rupert, for that demonstration of the capabilities that Black Duck brings with RTC to open source compliance. I'd just like to sort of sum up what we've seen. And we are seeing compliance has continued to escalate as a priority for organizations. We've got some examples here. Again, it does seem to have been sort of banking and insurance where there's been a big emphasis of late. We can see nationwide using our enterprise architect tool around business planning of compliance, Bank of Brazil leveraging a DevOps approach to demonstrate compliance with IT governance frameworks in Brazil, which are very strong. A large global banking organization in France leveraging DevOps to reduce infrastructure provisioning time. And these are real figures, by 99.7%. Save application deployment time, meeting compliance around anti-money laundering, for example. A Swiss reinsurance company leveraging IBM Change Process Management in conjunction with Tivoli infrastructure. The team can now manage Sarbanes-Oxley and other regulatory changes through an IT governance handbook and process, aligning IT process with business needs. Maybe compliance is, aerospace and defense, it's always been strong. It's become much more strong in the banking industry. If we look sort of wider across other industries, we can see some of the areas where some of IBM Rational's customers are adopting a DevOps approach, that they're achieving some, without going through all these, having some sort of massive improvements. The one I like here, TIA CIF achieved a 1,600% increase in software delivery velocity in less than 7 months. Cars.com increased product releases from 40 to 400 per year. So these are fantastic achievements, and we're seeing that the DevOps message resonating with our customers, and we're seeing some great improvements, and this is helping them improve productivity, reduce costs, but enable them to innovate and also meet compliance regulations, the new ones that are coming out. Something we sort of mentioned really in passing, just to really emphasize, show you in summary form, that IBM has a number of solutions that can help you achieve compliance and balance business innovation with cost across the life cycle. Some rational tools around planning and measuring, development and test, rational team concept we've talked about, new solutions for rational test virtualization. We acquired the Green Hat organization last year, and we've seen some great results in that area. Also, Rational Quality Manager and the sort of software development compliance solutions from Rational and Black Duck as well. Also, release and deploy. We now have solutions to support around the acquisition of Urban Code. When it comes to the sort of when the system applications are in production, then there are a number of solutions from IBM for sort of monitoring and optimizing. I know that Tea Leaf, new solution, is particularly strong. Also, solutions from Tivoli around smart cloud application performance management. So the integration of these tools, say, on the OLSC platform, is enabling companies to make great strides with DevOps and with compliance as well. And just to sort of summarize and show that the compliance accelerator, specifically with Rational, we have a plan for compliance accelerator based on our focal point solution, enables you, and there are extensions, in fact, to support Dodd-Frank Act. So if you're interested in that, please get in touch, to enable you to define your compliance-driven projects and to manage your portfolio. Also, we have, then you can use Rational Team Concert and Black Duck to develop your capabilities, applications, across different, mobile, cloud, etc. And also we have a software development specific solution to support software development compliance that we've been looking at tonight. Well, sorry, tonight in my case, this afternoon in your case, I believe. And finally, just to share, we have some other information and resources that you can access and find out more information. Mentioned Chubb before, see how they've used our solution to support Solvency II regulations for insurance, for example. So thank you very much for listening today. And I'll hand it back to Kurt for the question time.
Great.
Okay, over to you, Kurt.
Great. Thanks, Richard Rupert. We are at the Q&A. We, again, let you know that you can contribute questions remotely. We've got a few here we'll go through. Let's start with Rupert. There's a question about how does Black Duck help understand security vulnerabilities within the open source code? Can you elaborate on that?
I certainly can. Thank you, Kurt. And a good question. Black Duck helps understand security vulnerabilities within open source code by integrating our knowledge base of all of the open source that we know about with something called the National Vulnerability Database. The National Vulnerability Database is run by the Department of Homeland Security and the National Institutes for Standards here in the U.S. And they have a clearinghouse for vulnerabilities, and so we actually integrate that list of vulnerabilities directly with our knowledge base so that any of our customers can see what the vulnerabilities are as before they put something into production, so before they put a piece of open source code into production as part of the approval process, We can tell them if there are any known vulnerabilities, and then after it's in production, we're able to then tell them if there are any new vulnerabilities that come up on a daily basis, on a nightly basis. So we're able to do two levels of monitoring for open source by the integration with the National Vulnerability Database.
Okay, great. Richard, there's a question about DevOps and Agile. Can you compare or contrast DevOps with applying Agile methodologies across the entire enterprise? Are they synergistic, conflicting, overlapping?
Yes, I guess in a way that DevOps is sort of bringing an integration between different Agile methods that I think particularly, you know, that Agile methods are becoming more commonplace within, you know, the development of software, but that hasn't been applied when it comes to test, which is, again, that sort of a continuous testing approach,
right,
that needs to be introduced. And then, you know, continuous deployment. So organizations, you know, they're becoming agile in development, but they have, you know, to integrate that with agile methods in other areas. And,
right,
and DevOps offers, you know, that integration of agile methods across the life cycle.
Okay, I see. So, yeah, you did talk a lot about DevOps as it relates to the entire life cycle. What about as DevOps might relate to marketing and sales initiatives, those kinds of things? Is it encompassing in that at this point in time, or is that?
Well, yes, in that, you know, most sales and marketing initiatives, I mean, marketing particularly is looking at customer care and insight, single view of the customer, and that is going to be delivered via IT. So it's key that their process and what they want, you know, they want to get the new marketing initiative and get it applied out to the customers as soon as possible. And so you know, the marketing department is working more quickly, but they need to align with the IT, the IT planning and priorities to ensure it's delivered more quickly. And again, you know, there's a continuous business planning section within DevOps to allow that integration between sales and marketing and the IT department.
Rupert, about Black Duck again, can it help me understand the community around open source code and how that may or may not influence or affect their choice in what components they might use?
Certainly could. Yeah. So Black Duck has a site called Olo.net, and Olo.net is almost like the Facebook for open source, and it's an aggregator for all the open source components that we know about, and along with all of the traditional metadata that we collect, we're also able at that stage to collect the community, what people like, how active the community is, how many releases there have been. And so Black Duck is able to give a view that's much broader than just the license or the security vulnerabilities. It's able to tell you what other people like and how those pieces of open source might interact with other pieces of open source. And we suggest that this is part of an approval process. Most of our customers today are using approval processes that are fairly simple, that have, for example, a legal and a security. We're also suggesting that the community now be part of that decision, because if you pick something with a weak community, typically you'll have to support that yourself, whereas if you're picking something with a very active, a very strong community, then that makes it obviously much easier for you, and you can depend on the community for input. We're finding that the community around open source is affecting people's choice as to whether they go with a piece of open source or not, much more than it has in the past.
Interesting. I could see where that would be really powerful. How about in terms of understanding what open source has been built on, what kinds of platforms or processor architectures, those kinds of things? Can it help there?
It absolutely can, yes. So the architectures, the languages, the dependencies associated with that, we certainly can help with all of those choices, because the decision tree typically with open source is much more complex than it was in the past. Some years ago, it was typically just legal. The license was the thing that said yes or no.
Right.
But we find that it's much broader these days. And yes, as you say, the architectural considerations, the legal considerations, the security considerations are all becoming part of approval processes these days.
Wow. Okay. Very good. Richard, does your service virtualization tool provide virtual testing support for my mobile apps against my back-end systems on the mainframe? Secondly, can it be used to help test other tools I'm implementing, like SAP or third-party tools?
Okay, that's a great question, Kurt. Yes, the one of the beauty of our service virtualization solution is that you can effectively integrate, you can do testing on any piece of the environment. So, for example, you can build your mobile apps and test that against your back-end mainframe systems without having those systems running. So you're saving enormous amount of MIPS, or vice versa. You can test changes to your back-end systems before you've developed the mobile app. So it enables doing that early testing. Yes, you can test, say, with SAP, we have a great solution to enable you to do, to not have to have SAP running when you're doing testing, so you don't have to be linked to the SAP system to test out those changes. And this is saving we're seeing enormous reductions in costs through those time savings.
Interesting. So you talked about stub, the capability of having stubs and things like that. So I suppose this feeds into that, kind of where maybe you could have a prototype of the back end system and be testing against that.
That, correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
So you have this stub as a driver, so it replaces, if you like, the back end system. So it's talking to the mobile app without the back end system actually having to be up and running.
Okay.
And this can save an enormous amount of cost.
Okay, great. I'd like to ask this next question of both of you. So maybe we can start with Rich Rupert, and then we'll end with Richard here. The examples and the things that you've shown appear to be very large companies. Small and medium-sized businesses tend to gravitate toward OSS, of course. And is it reasonable to implement a system in a small, medium-sized business enterprise environment, or is what you're talking about really applying to large companies where you have lots of departments that have to coordinate? Rupert,
yes.
Maybe you can start from the code, open source code base, and maybe even, you're talking about large companies where they might have their development organizations distributed and how you might handle that, although that's kind of a large company question.
Absolutely. Yeah, Black Duck scales from customers of ours which have, just a handful of users, maybe 2, 3, 4 users, even to pre-revenue companies, where we've enabled open source development, and actually the smaller the company, there tends to be more usage of open source, as there's typically less governance around it, and we scale right up to large organizations such as Intel, for example, that have Black Duck deployed in many different sites across the world. And there are obviously a series of challenges when you have so many different sites around the world and so many different, tens of thousands of developers all wanting to use open source, and trying to manage all of that. So absolutely, we scale from small sort of pre-revenue companies right up to large international global companies.
Okay, great. Richard.
Yes, but for me, in terms of rational, yes, RTC can support a small organization in terms of a user base, one department, or it can scale up to the largest organization you can think of, the federal bank in the U.S. or the Federal Reserve System or whatever. And what we're seeing increasingly, one thing that IBM Rational is having great impact is with its token license model. So organizations, can buy small and then build up as they need to. And you know, that's been a great help to, again, smaller organizations or to organizations, you know, that they don't want, that they want to sort of build up slowly. So we can support, you know, any size of organization.
Okay, great. Unfortunately, that brings us to the end of today's eCast. I want to thank Rupert and Richard for sharing your insights on compliance and open source for effective DevOps. We at Open Systems Media, Black Duck, IBM, also want to thank all of you, the audience, for attending today, contributing great questions remotely. Unfortunately, we did not get to all of them. I'm sure our speakers will be getting back to you, or you can contact them as well. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast will also be made available there. You can do a web search with the keywords embedded space e-cast and find all of Open Systems Media eCasts available as download as MP3s. Thanks for attending, and have a great day.